At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's the year 897. You walk into a candlelit courtroom in Rome. Ornate frescoes on the ceiling. A judge's bench at the front. Rows of stern-faced clergy seated with eyes fixed ahead. And in the middle of the room is a corpse. Not just any corpse. The rotting, redressed body of a former pope, propped up on a literal throne, wearing full papal vestments. He's missing several fingers. He smells exactly how you think he smells. And he is, technically, on trial. Because today, my friends, is the Cadaver Synod, where the Catholic Church decided, you know what this theological dispute needs? A zombie courtroom drama. This really happened, and it wasn't even the weirdest thing the medieval church did, but it was one of the most spectacularly insane public takedowns in religious history. A story of revenge, politics, rotting flesh, and what happens when the power of the papacy falls into the hands of someone with a vendetta and no chill whatsoever. Today on History on the Margins, we exhume the story of the Corpse Synod and ask, how did the holiest office in Christendom end up playing Weekend at Bernie's with a dead pope? I'm your host, John Williamson, and this is History on the Margins. To understand how a dead pope ended up on trial, we have to go back a few decades and meet the man behind the body. Pope Formosus. Formosus was no ordinary bishop. He was brilliant, politically savvy, and maybe just a little too good at making enemies. Born around 816 in Rome, he rose quickly through the clerical ranks and eventually became the Bishop of Porto, one of the oldest and most respected dioceses in Italy. He was also sent on missions to Bulgaria and France, where local leaders loved him. A little too much. And that's the problem. In medieval Europe, popularity was dangerous, especially if you were popular with the wrong people. And Formosus had this bad habit of backing whoever wasn't in power yet, a real early adopter of regime change. At one point, he got so tangled up in foreign political disputes that Pope John Paul VIII, yes, the guy before him, actually excommunicated him. Said he abandoned his diocese and had ambitions for the papacy, which honestly feels a bit like projection. Anyway, that obviously didn't stick. Later popes brought him back into the fold, and in 891, Formosus was elected pope. Because if you want a drama-free Vatican, maybe don't give the job to the guy you just excommunicated a few years earlier. As pope, Formosus had one big problem, the Spoleto family, a powerful noble dynasty with a claim to the Holy Roman Empire. They had already installed their own puppet emperor, Lambert of Spoleto. But Formosus wasn't feeling the vibe. Instead, he invited an outsider, Arnulf of Carinthia, to invade Italy, oust Lambert, and be crowned emperor instead. Spoiler, that plan kind of worked, until it didn't. Arnulf got as far as Rome, was crowned by Formosus in 896, and then promptly suffered a stroke. Like, immediately. Couldn't move. Had to be carried back over the Alps. Formosus died a few months later, likely thinking his empire building had failed, but unaware of what horrors were still to come. Because after he died, another man stepped into the papal office. A man with a grudge. And that brings us to Pope Stephen IV. A man who looked at a decomposing predecessor and thought, you know what? I think we should put that man on trial. Publicly. In a courtroom. In full vestments while he's actively rotting. Because this was medieval Rome. And rules. Next, the court assembles. The dead pope is dressed, and the trial of Formosus begins, with a deacon appointed to speak for the corpse, because nothing screams spiritual authority like cross-examining a skeleton. Picture it. Rome, January 897. The mood? Tense. The scent? Rancid. The vibe? Somewhere between True Detective Vatican Edition and a particularly disturbing episode of Law & Order Special Pontiff Unit. Because today, Pope Stephen IV is holding a synod, a formal ecclesiastical court. His target? His dead predecessor, Pope Formosus, who has been exhumed, dressed in full papal robes, and is currently slouched in a chair like a college student at a 7 a.m. class the day following a keg party. And no, your earballs are not broken. That is 100% real history. Formosus had been dead for nearly 9 months, long enough to qualify for a haunting, a Netflix documentary, and at least 3 plagues. But that didn't stop Stephen IV from ordering the body dug up, dragged into the Lateran Basilica, and propped up on a throne like some divine scarecrow of vengeance.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Stephen opened the trial by announcing charges against Formosus, that he was unworthy of the papacy, that he violated canon law by being bishop in more than one place, and that he had lied to ascend to power. Which, okay, in the 9th century, that was basically every pope. Like, congratulations, you just described 70% of the applicants. To make things even more surreal, the court appointed a deacon to speak on behalf of the corpse. Just picture the job interview. Do you do any impersonations? How's your pope? The deacon apparently stood next to the decomposing pope and answered all questions as if he were the corpse. I wish I were kidding, but this was full-on cosplay trial. Somewhere in the shadows, Monty Python was weeping with envy. Witnesses were called. Testimony was delivered. The corpse did not respond. And shocker, Formosus was found guilty. I mean, what's he going to do, object? As punishment, he was sentenced to death. I'm kidding. His papal acts were declared void. The 3 fingers he used to perform blessings were cut off. Because even in death, you got to make sure that papal magic doesn't leak out. Then, in one final go to hell and stay there, they stripped his body of its robes and threw his entire body into the Tiber River. Let's pause here. This wasn't just about discrediting a political rival. This was a full-blown spiritual hit job, a necropolitical spectacle. A dead man dragged through court just to say, you never should have sat in my chair. It's like if your ex kept bringing up your old texts at your funeral. Petty and extremely well-funded. The people in Rome? Not fans. They were, and I cannot emphasize this enough, horrified. Because even for an era where disease, assassination, and surprise Viking raids were basically Tuesday, this was a lot. Riots broke out, public opinion turned, and within months, Pope Stephen IV was deposed, imprisoned, and then strangled in his cell. Which sure, sounds extreme, until you remember, he yelled at a dead body for an hour and called it justice. Formosus was fished out of the river, reburied, and then buried again in St. Peter's Basilica, after a new pope came along and said, yeah, maybe let's not try our predecessors posthumously, not great optics. Spoiler, even that didn't last, because the church would flip-flop on Formosus several more times, dating him up, recondemning him, revalidating him, and eventually just quietly pretending this whole saga never happened. Like that one time Grandpa got drunk at Thanksgiving and brought up QAnon? We don't talk about that anymore, Papa. Next came Pope Romanus, who is like that substitute teacher who walks into class after a brawl and just wants everybody to please sit down and be normal for like 5 minutes. He annulled the cadaver synod, declared Formosus acts valid again, and tried to hit the giant ecclesiastical reset button. Unfortunately for Romanus, the chaos was far from over. After Romanus came Theodore II, who also annulled the synod, reburied Formosus properly, and ordered a synod to prohibit future posthumous trials, which is a law you should only have to write once, by the way. Then came Pope John XI, who doubled down on these efforts. But wait, plot twist. In 904, Pope Sergius III came along and basically said, nope, the cadaver synod was actually valid, Formosus was a heretic, let's bring that narrative back. Because nothing says healthy leadership like recondemning a dead guy 7 years later, just to score points with your political sponsors. At this point, Formosus was like the Taylor Swift of dead popes, constantly being re-released in a new edition, condemned, redeemed, remixed, thrown in a river, dug up again, dropped from canon, added back in. Honestly, if the church had invented merchandising by this point, we'd have gotten a corpse-scented collector's edition action figure. Now with bonus finger-snapping action. Behind all the absurdity, the cadaver synod reveals something deeply human and deeply disturbing about power. This wasn't just about theology. This was about control, about vengeance, about rewriting history, even if it meant desecrating the dead to do it. Pope Stephen IV couldn't just discredit Formosus politically. He needed to erase him, unmake him, make sure his legacy and all his decisions were literally voided. And when you don't have a stable system of checks and balances, when the most powerful religious figure in Europe is answerable only to other angry nobles and the occasional angry mob, this is what you get. A literal corpse trial. Eventually, Formosus was reinterred for good in St. Peter's Basilica, where he remains to this day. Hopefully not listening. Because if he is, boy, does he have some notes. His name was mostly cleared, his acts revalidated, and the Catholic Church would quietly pretend this whole thing never happened. Except, of course, for the part where it's in every medieval history book, every weirdest trials in history listicle, and now, in your ears. In the end, the Cadaver Synod isn't just a bizarre historical footnote. It's a case study in how institutions react when their legitimacy is threatened, when power becomes more important than principle, and when insecurity becomes policy. And also, it's a reminder that if someone ever tells you history is boring, tell them about the time a pope dug up a dead pope, dressed him up, put him on trial, and lost everything in the process. So what did we learn today? If you thought modern church politics were messy, just be glad your bishop isn't digging up your predecessor and yelling at his bones in Latin. The Cadaver Synod stands as one of the strangest episodes in papal history, a moment when power, paranoia, and politics collided in the most literal way possible. And while Pope Stephen IV might have thought he was settling a score, all he really did was make sure we'd be talking about this ridiculous courtroom drama over 1,000 years later. Justice may be blind, but in this case, it was also very much deaf. I'm John Williamson, and this has been History on the Margins, where the footnotes get the spotlight and the weirdest corners of the past finally get their moment. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a review, tell your friends, or just whisper "Cadaver Synod" into the night and see what happens. Until next time, keep questioning the margins. We'll be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.